Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everyone, welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Today we're talking about the symbols in our lives and taking calls for honor readings. I want to invite our callers and listeners to join us here on Blog Talk Radio and on Facebook. And call in number 914-338-0164. Please press 1 if you'd like to speak with us. We do have a caller in the queue. I'm going to bring them on, then we can get to our topic. 313, hello.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you? This is Cliff.
Good. Who's this?
Cliff.
Cliff. Hi, Cliff.
How are you?
Good. Long time no speak. Remember Cliff, firefighter?
Oh, Cliff. Mm-hmm. I was just thinking about you, Cliff.
Really?
Yeah. About 3 days ago.
Wow.
You were on my mind.
Okay.
That happens.
What were you thinking?
You know, I came across your notes and I was thinking about you, and then I came across your notes and I was looking for another client, and that was precluded by me thinking about,
predicated.
I don't know why. Yeah.
Predicated by thinking about him.
You know, I'm not sure that it might be because I saw an article a while back about the way that some people are treated, if you know what I mean, in the fire department due to bigotry and prejudice. And
okay.
I read that about a month ago, and it kind of disturbed me. And then I started thinking about you, so you were kind of trailing in my thoughts. We've got thousands of clients, and I happen to just see your notes out of all this huge pile. And so it was kind of like that, trailed like that.
Okay.
So, Cliff, I remember that you're a 314, right? That's your karmic master number. But what's your birth date again? Because I don't recall the birth date.
3/28/62.
So let's see if I'm right. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Three. No, I'm wrong. Am I wrong? 8, 9, 10, 13. No, I'm
31.
Right.
I think
31.
You're right.
Yeah, I remembered. Okay, so fill us in what's going on and let us know the reason for your call today as well.
I didn't expect to be the first one on here, but hey, I guess it was meant to be.
You weren't prepared.
I do have a question. I'm considering
Cliff,
a lawsuit.
Cliff, we cannot hear you right now. So if you could talk right into your receiver, if you're on speakerphone, maybe get off speakerphone.
Okay. Okay, is that better?
That's better. Go ahead.
Okay. No. I'm considering a lawsuit. Against a particular situation, and is it? From your perspective, is it wise to pursue it, or should I just let it go?
Well,
is the lawsuit surrounding anything regarding business, or is it personal?
It's personal. It's actually both. Both.
Well,
both.
What's interesting, and I don't know the content of the lawsuit, but what's interesting is that because of the mistreatment within the fire department, And I don't know, this was on our side of the states.
This has nothing to do with the fire department.
But there's a reason it's coming up probably.
But the fact that there's an issue of mistreatment and possible litigation and all that kind of thing, which involves lawsuits and things like that, discrimination, that prompted me to start thinking about you in a legal sense. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was thinking about that. So you calling on another matter of law or legality prompts me to think it might be a good idea, but is there any way you can share some information without going into details or possible, getting yourself in trouble?
No, I don't want to go too much into it. It is personal, but there is definitely a business aspect to it, and I think it's the business aspect of it that could be play more into my favor in terms of possibly.
Is this commanding a civil suit or of something higher?
I'm not really sure. I don't know enough about law.
Anything under $5,000 would be a collectible amount. That's it.
Like a small claims court is probably the best way to. Civil, broader category.
Well, small
Your
claims.
Small claims, I think, is what Neil meant.
This is a matter an employee of a company mistreating a long-term customer. I've been a customer of this company for, it'll be 40 years on my birthday, and one of their employees has basically mishandled my entire family.
Well, Cliff, so that rings a similar bell to the mistreatment, if you will, within the fire department. So that is a link of similarity. Now, what you have to think, and your best bet is to contact a lawyer. We cannot give legal advice.
Right.
It's against the law. We're not licensed, etc.
Right.
But you have to consider damages. What courts like to see is monetary damage, not just emotional.
Okay.
And if you have to show damages that it cost you and you're out of your pocket. You were deprived of something in terms of monetary value. If that's not there and it's just you were mistreated and you feel that was bad on the emotions or the character of your family, good luck.
It's going to be harder.
Good luck.
So are there damages, Cliff? Monetary damages?
I think so. There's definitely been some finances that have been impacted, as a direct result of
to an attorney. It's interesting because what we're picking up on is that there's an energy field that was concerning you.
Interesting.
See, we're already getting that. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's yes or no on it. It just means we're picking up on the vibe. Psychically, it won't do you any harm to book a session with an attorney. Some of them are free for a half hour just to see if it's worthwhile. You have to do personal damages and all that business and see if there's anything there of merit. A lot of attorneys will turn it down because it's just not enough there for them to collect on.
Did you have an idea of how much damages you might be entitled to? Cliff?
Yes.
How much monetary damage you might be entitled to? Is it significant enough to interest somebody?
I don't know. Can you hear me?
Because obviously, if it's small claims court, you represent yourself. You don't get an attorney in small claims court. But if it's above $5,000, then obviously you need an attorney.
I don't really know.
I mean, you can represent yourself anytime, but... Wiser to get an attorney.
There's no harm in trying. I mean, psychically, we can only say that we were picking up the vibration of it.
Right.
It's not going to hurt you to try and see how to approach this, or
right.
whether you want to take action with the Better Business Bureau or somebody higher up in
okay.
the company.
Okay.
We had a problem, and we went to the president of the company, and we got the results we needed. So sometimes that's the best
okay.
thing to do.
We did.
And
I don't remember which issue this was. Oh.
That could that's a good idea. I might do that.
Yeah. Go to the head of the company, explain what's going on, and if you can reach them, we got results that were outstanding by going that
okay.
way.
I will
okay.
consult a lawyer, though.
Yeah, definitely. And do your research, obviously. You don't want to get a bad lawyer, and there's a lot of bad lawyers out there,
yeah.
or mediocre lawyers.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah,
good
some
man
of these
in
people
all things.
Offering free consultations may not be the best choice. So you
right.
should definitely do your research. Definitely do your research. But anyway, hopefully that helps.
Yeah, and if there's issues involving it that you can prove discrimination or whatever that might happen, that might add momentum. But anyways, start off, see if an attorney might say, did you check with the company? Did you check with the president? Did you check with the manager? They might go there first to get resolution and ask you that. So
okay.
do your work first before you waste their time get before you violate any kind of thing or you exhaust any kind of reasoning with an attorney. You want to make sure you're prepared to that when you get to them, you've done your footwork.
Okay.
Okay, Cliff.
Well
keep
right.
in touch. Keep in touch.
I will.
All right. Take care.
Okay. You too. Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. We have a caller from 928 area code. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Who's this?
Hi. My name is Carla.
Hi, Carla.
C-U-K.
With C-A-R-L-A?
K-A-R-L-A.
You picked that up, Neil, that it would be a K. I've never known a Carla with a K, so
oh,
good
yeah.
good for you.
Yeah.
Okay, hi, Carla with a K. I'm Kristen with a K.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just calling because lately, like with my husband's job and wife, it just seems like everything is going absolutely crazy. I know that we're always ultimately provided for, but I'm just wondering if, it'll calm down soon and if we can get some more like balance, or are we just being drawn into something better?
Okay.
Make a long
Carla,
story short.
What is your birthday and what's your husband's birth date? Full birth date, month, day, and year.
Mine's 4/24/68.
Okay.
And his is 5/28/67.
67. So 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 20, 34, 7. Did I do that right? What did you get, Neil?
38, 11, 2.
38, 11, 2, and 34, 7?
Yeah.
Okay. And we've never spoken with Carla before, have
no.
we? Go ahead.
Okay. So a little bit of vague because everything's going crazy with your husband's job and things are just going crazy. Crazy is a big word. His job's in jeopardy.
Like he's been with this company, for 6 years. He always got grave reviews. And then all of a sudden, a year ago, they get this new manager that he actually helped. But she, wanted him to do things that would have went against the corporate guidelines and pretty much wanted to turn. He does maintenance for all these apartments. But she pretty much said, well, the budget isn't there. And then she wanted him to shortcut and not do the full job. And he said, I just can't do that. You know, I can't do that to the people moving in and blah, 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 blah. Well, anyway, then it's become this big slander thing. She didn't like it that he said, well, you know, I have to do according to corporate guidelines. And then it's just been really, like, then she moved him to another place. Now we're in a new place. And, but she's still, like, telling everybody there's a lot of slander and stuff going on. And really, it's been stressful for him. And then we just got a call yesterday about taking a new job and overseeing a great big lake property. And we'd be provided housing and everything, and the pay would be more. And I'm hoping that that kind of turns out. But I really feel like, you know, because he has been with them so long, he cares. But also at the same time, it's becoming way too stressful. Does that make
sense? Well, your husband sounds like an outstanding man with ethics. They are probably wanting, you know, the new manager is trying to figure out maybe how to cut corners, or he's trying to look for a profit. He doesn't care about people. That goes against your husband's scruples. This other job came up that was overseeing a High Lake property. He's been there 6 years, and maybe you know, when you're working in a toxic environment, Carla, it can wear on the health. And if this man is a very sensitive man and cares and has standards, it won't do him any good to bend and go against his principles. So
he won't do that.
And if that's going on, it's going to cause just more stress. Even if he decides to do it, he could turn into a person that you don't recognize anymore. So we don't want that. What's going to be better, since this other job came up with the large lake property, is for him to really present himself aggressively and assertively that he really will like this job. You know, it's a natural environment, whatever. It's probably he's going to come in, he's going to bring his standards of ethics and sensitivity to the job. I think it's a good sign. So the best we can do is hope that something will come good of this. But I want to ask you a question. Is there anyone in the family born in the month of October, or does October ring a bell for you for any purpose?
My grandfather, but he passed away.
Was he close to you, or?
Yes, yes.
And was his passing away hard for you?
Yes and no, mostly because, I mean, I was in a car accident and in a coma, so, and I understand the whole, you know, I literally, I was in a coma for 3 months, so I crossed over, you know, in that time, 3 different times my heart stopped. So, yes, in some ways, but then in other ways, I also see the blessings. I know where he is, and I also know that when you cross, if you hold them in grief, you're holding that energy into grief, and we really shouldn't. We should love them enough to allow that love to live and process through us. So the big thing
That's all true. Let me ask you something. Was he buried or cremated?
Buried.
And is his burial anywhere near your location?
No.
Okay.
The thing
that
maybe that's about is our native tradition, because he was Cherokee, and my husband is also Lakota. And about us and our grounding with the earth and getting back into our wisdom and medicine.
Oh,
maybe.
Perfect.
Yeah.
He's perfect. This is pretty simple. He's meant to be at the lake.
Yeah. Now I just hope that he gets the job.
Well, if he's meant to be there, he'll get the job.
I'm going to ask you a strange question. A strange question on the side. Did you ever smoke cigarettes and then had to give it up?
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to ask that because it's in an energy field I'm picking up about you. But it serves as that question is not an alarming question. It just serves as a validation. It serves as a validation that he probably is going to get the job. I think there may be some competition there, but what Chris and I will do, I don't know if you've ever, you've never called the
no.
show.
Mm-hmm.
We'll put out energy that he does get the job. I think it's more, you know, at least the lake, is it a natural lake or a man-made lake?
It's a natural lake, and the Colorado River runs right to it.
Where do you
it.
Live? Where? What state?
Arizona.
Arizona.
It's Lake Mojave. Oh. Yeah, it's on Mojave.
You know, there
lake.
Might be something. There might be something karmic going on with your husband and this lake.
The land.
And the land. There may be something deeper going on, and the fact that your grandfather was Cherokee. And your husband's Lakota, there may be something linking, because yes, in the crossover, the spirit becomes not only just crosses over, but the spirit becomes an energy, and it becomes a cosmic energy, and it goes into the cycle of existence, eternity. But that's connected to the cycle of life, and the cycle of life on the planet is connected to the resources, the animals, the lakes, the water, the clouds. And I think that it's going to do your husband a lot of good to get that job, because he's going to feel more connected to the earth and his heritage than what he was doing
right.
formerly. So I think
right.
that's where the slide is. I think that's what we got to put energy for, and just beseech the mystical elements of the universe to slide him into that job.
So I just have a question for our notes, Carla. When you were in your coma, what year was that?
1990,
which was
and
20 years ago, she would have been. So you were
22
years old.
22.
About
21. Yeah. Okay. I just want to write it down.
Well.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's a good.
You know, being the crazy parts of life are built into the universe. The universe has, there's crazy things that happen in the universe, negative things, horrible things that happen. Our universe has a bit of chaos in it, and entropy, and all kinds of crazy things go on. What we've got to find is that element of tranquility and harmony. That's what we got to find, not eliminating the fact that there's chaos. So when you say that everything's going crazy, let's put that as the outside world. Let's make the inside world one of tranquility and harmony. Bring that to the job. And let's hope that that might work. But we'll pay attention to it too, Kristen and I.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. And I do try to do that. We both do, you know, and especially me, because I am so sensitive to that. And I know that, like, sometimes, you know, I wake up at 3-4 in the morning, and that's literally, it's my time of meditation, breathing in, getting centered, you know, and just finding that peaceful state, you know, before, you know. But then the flip side of that is when things hit, it's sometimes it's difficult for me to just say, okay, you know, pretty much let go and let God and the highest good shall prevail, you know. But because I feel so much for him, per se, I know we're going to be fine no matter what. But I watch him going through all this, and so it's more my empathy and my compassion with him. Does that make sense? And knowing how much he's stressed out.
His master number has master number is built in with a position of turmoil, in the fact that there's an 11 in there. He's a 38, 11,
yeah.
2 by numerical value. And that's typical. I mean, the man's probably had a rough life. He's had his challenges.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Sometimes they're either a product of a divorce in the family, or they've been divorced.
Yeah.
Was there a divorce
yeah.
in the family, Carla, or with him personally?
Him personally,
yeah.
He was married for 20 years. And the last 8 years,
right.
she made him sleep on the couch, but he stayed because of his sons. Like, he was, he worked full time, but he was also, like, he cooked, he cleaned, he did all that. But he just stayed because he wanted to raise his kids. It would have been 11 years ago. It took her moving on with another man because he still wouldn't, he just wouldn't do it. He's not like, he's kind of really afraid of change too, but also everything about him is integrity. And it doesn't matter what he goes through. He like self-sacrifices just to, you know, and he does that even with this job. So, makes sense.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, it's a struggle. The heritage-wise, it's a struggle, more or less personal-wise.
Right.
And that's not to say that there's all kinds of social conditions and horrible things that have gone on with American Indians, but that's besides the point. He's had his problems. It sounds like he's been a bit victimized. It sounds like he's a little bit of a martyr, but he tries to keep his face upright and tries to do the good thing. We want him to get out of that victimization process, where he feels that, you know, he has to take on all the troubles of the world and stand upright. So, let's just switch the gears right now and put the energy out. Is he at all involved in the music of his heritage?
Yeah, like he was drumming with me, you know, and he's actually, his greatest gift though is he's a visionary. He does a lot with prophecy, and he's like 100% accurate. It's amazing to me, you know, how
visionaries,
accurate.
I got it. Visionaries will still go through their turmoil. It's engraved in the visionary site. A lot of visionaries are imprisoned. They're crucified. They're all kinds of things, sacrificed. So, you know, in the attitude of carrying on the tradition of visionary energy, what we've got to do is put them on top of the mountain, not on the bottom of it. So metaphorically speaking, we're going to put him at the top of the mountain where he can see all things and not be harmed. Because it sounds like as a mystic or as a visionary, he's being harmed. When mystics and visionaries plant their feet on the earth, they're usually ridiculed or persecuted.
Yeah.
So we want to put him on the mountain. And that was that's a nice Indian metaphor. It's traditionally speaking, it's to see all things. It's the circumference of the owl. And if you get into the animal spirits, Indian speaking, the owl has a, you know, I don't need to lecture. So let's put him there and make sure that that's the pinnacle of his journey as he goes forward towards his job.
Okay. Yeah.
And Carla, you may check in with us, you know, let us know how things progress. You can call for a personal conversation. The number is 562-596-7818 to further explore this matter and perhaps, you know, do more.
Okay.
But anyway, it was nice to meet you today.
Thank you guys so much.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Great. Bye. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of symbols, even in the Cherokee,
there are symbols in my life. Well, these aren't really symbols.
that's
I'm
more
continuing my bad joke from the other day. What are those hand bells or whatever?
You brought me back to Nepal, one of my past lives. Whether it's the mountain range of Montana or Arizona or the Himalayas, we get into those are symbols too. I mean, it is the ringing of spiritual energy. And the address of the sound of the vibration to spirit. So what you just did would be calling in the spirit.
That's what they're used for.
Calling in the spirit. So when we get into the idea of symbol, we have animal symbols, we have symbols of nature. There are some Indian cultures that when the baby is born, if a butterfly flies by, they call the baby butterfly. Butterfly flies by. or the wolf howls. They call them howling wolf. Sometimes the symbols of our surrounding environment becomes our identity. And that's a symbol journey in and of itself. A lot of people symbolize themselves with icons. You know, the guy that wears a Batman t-shirt, that's a symbol. It's apart from his own identity because he's not Batman, but he wears the symbol like an embroidery, like in a tattoo almost. So we have these symbols that we look at, that we identify with, that we take in as our human element, whether it's concrete like a figure or whether it's abstract like a cross or a triangle or anything like that, a pyramid. We use these symbols in life to identify ourselves.
Right, whether it's a logo or a pattern on a shirt. I mean, you can even have a pattern with symbols, you know, dots or triangles, as you were saying, you know, the patterns on clothing.
Right.
Aside from logos, which is a totally different topic in terms of the use of symbols in advertising and what, you know, companies are using those symbols for, which many people may not be aware of. But
right. Right, exactly. And even geometrically speaking, when you go outside, you can't help but see symbols, triangles, squares, circles. There's symbols everywhere. Houses are in different symbols and different angles. You look at a stop sign, it's a symbol. Now, there's many stop signs that are
hexagon,
symbols.
Hexagon, isn't it?
Hexagon.
Or is it octagon? I can't remember.
I think it's a hexagon.
Yeah.
And not only that, but then the word stop is a symbol. Letters are symbols.
Okay.
So when we get into these ideas of symbols, we have to look at the idea, is a symbol external or internal? You know, if you look at a stop sign, you're not going to necessarily make that an internal symbol. But what the stop sign does is it prompts you to respond internally. You don't identify with the stop sign. You don't say, oh, I'm wearing a stop sign on my shirt. That's one of my icons. But what a stop sign does in its symbolism and the interpretation of a stop sign is it means that we're conditioned to stop. So in some form, it does leap over to the extent that it's internal. But much different than that would be a symbol we readily identify with, a dog, a superhero, a religious figure. Those become symbols. Then we get into the idea that perhaps somebody like Martin Luther King, he's a symbol of a man, he's a symbol of a black man, he's a symbol of freedom, he's a symbol of civil rights. We get into these multiple layers of symbols that outstandingly come from one object. So there's these multiple levels of symbols that we speak of. Now in our show, Chris and I are use many symbols, especially in the formation of our language, in the attitude of the book we're working on. Those symbols would be chakras, basically speaking. Aside from numbers that symbolize certain things, numbers symbolize absolutely all kinds of things, quantity, measurement, but then they get into strange narratives, numbers do. And it means something else. You know, what's the second day of the week, relatively speaking, Tuesday, or you might say Monday. You know, so it becomes a day, a symbol becomes a day. If you say, oh, what's two in the body, the second chakra. And now we get into the idea of how you symbolize, what is the symbolic definition of a chakra? So we have all these different forms of symbols that we connect to, and we have to also assume that the symbols that we connect to become part of our health program, our sense of well-being. Imagine in Germany, the symbol of the swastika to a Jewish person, what that did. But then the symbol of a swastika to a German citizen that was a member of the Nazi party, so also different mission, meaning. So a
right,
symbol
the,
can
I
have
mean,
these
the,
this duality.
Well, there is duality. I mean, you mentioned the swastika, and it was not used in a Semitic way originally. So the symbol itself was not a bad symbol.
A lot of Indians will put it in on their banks or over there because it's a symbol of protection. So it's morphed into all kinds of different elements. But in the course of history, it took on this horrific symbol.
Right, and now it's forever changed. It's hard to use a swastika now in modern day society in a positive way because of what it represents.
Right. So you know, symbols are contingent on interpretation and how we interpret these things, how we think of them. And then we have the abstraction of symbols as opposed to more of the concrete element of symbols. We were talking about how symbols can also morph through time. Bugs Bunny was a cartoon character, but during the war, Bugs Bunny was planted on airplanes, and they became symbols of fighting criteria. So then Bugs Bunny also became, he started advertising heavily during the World War II and became an icon for
the war.
That
would be on American planes, right?
Yeah, American planes.
American planes. There's more specificity to what the Bugs Bunny symbol meant. It was American.
It was American, but then it became an object of other kinds of symbolism. So same thing with Woody Woodpecker. Same thing that happened with Woody Woodpecker. And when we get into the idea of these symbols, even if they're cartoon and made up, we have obviously multiple reasons for that. Look at the Statue of Liberty, a very concrete symbol that's now taken on a different meaning because of the nature of our immigration program and how we are looking at peoples that are refugees and trying to escape persecuted countries and things like that. And we're supposed to, you know, bring in the weary and the sick and the weak. And, you know, that's changed now to where that whole symbol is. Think of the symbol of the flag. It's either being waved or burned. Our symbols, we can't help it. They're infused with a duality that I think is built into the system. You can't create a symbol without it having a duality.
Right.
We like clowns, but some people are terribly afraid
of
clowns.
Well, no, I have a negative. Yeah, it surprisingly, since there are clown paintings in our home. But clowns,
some people
find
are terrified
them to be scary.
And now there's that movie that came out with the Stephen King, the clown thing. But, you know, I grew up having met Emmett Kelly. You know, that was her honor. And Red Skelton, who was another clown per se. So the idea of, you know, a clown, what a clown represents, the gesture, the clown, usually in even in Shakespearean plays, the jester was one that would, the reason the jester was so valuable to the king was that he could tell the king things that nobody else could tell the king. They would get their heads chopped off. But the jester could tell the king reality, sometimes in verse form,
in humor.
And the king excused the jester. That's the joker, the jester, the clown. That's why it was so acceptable to the king, because it was in jest. But underneath that is truth. That's how we get to have satirical symbols. Satire becomes a symbol, usually if it was unlawful or not very safe to say something against a kingdom or a government, it would move into the channel of satire and be heavily disguised as a symbol of something that it's representing and saying something, and yet it's done so in such a comical fashion that's so detached seemingly from the topic at hand that it's just considered satire. And so that's how playwrights and writers would get away from persecution, by becoming satirists. And that's another form of symbol. Music is a form of symbol. when Stravinsky did The Rite of Spring, there was a tremendous riot because he revolutionized the measurement of music. And it was unheard of. It caused riots in Paris. So when we get into the idea of what these symbols are, even by the sound of a sound, a siren, a sonic boom, the sirens that go when there's a disaster. I remember in the Time Machine, the sirens that led the people to go to the warlocks? I can't remember, but they would all corral in and the. Was it what? Not warlocks? More? I can't remember what they were called, but I should. But they were being eaten alive. They were being cattle. They were like being served as cattle. But the way they brought them in was by the sirens that were originally conditioned for people to go to the bomb shelters during the nuclear wars and things. So we have these. We're filled with symbols, and I think that in our estimation, one of the most important symbols would be the third eye, which has to be a symbol because nobody sees it. There's a theory that we all once predominantly had this third eye.
Right, and then
forehead.
It was like buried, atrophied or whatever.
Atrophied and became the pineal gland.
Right.
And the pineal gland is a symbol. I mean, it's actually there deep in the brain. It can be
and that could be symbolized as the third eye, obviously. So there is a... you know, a physical symbol that can be associated with it. You're saying it's not seen. Of course, on the forehead, it's not seen, but the pineal gland can symbolize the.
But if you look at the dollar bill and you turn it over, you turn it over and you see the pyramid, and you see the third eye sitting on top of it.
Yeah, well, this whole dollar bill is filled with symbols.
The Masonic thing, I know.
Yeah.
But we're talking
topic.
Right now about symbols. I mean, if you want to talk about symbols, go to the Masons. They'll tell you all about symbols.
Well, yeah, and I mean how those symbols have been integrated into, like I was saying, you know, company logos and things like that. And, you know,
exactly.
The satanic, the idea that there's that overriding theme in our world and energy. Used by people that are nefarious.
Predominantly... significant about symbols is that they affect our being. People have survived near death by the use of symbols.
Well, I was thinking CYMBALS, just taking the word out of changing the word, laughing. But, you know, in terms of the symbols of numbers and the duality of those numbers, you know, in common numerology, you know, the number systems get kind of watered down into these generalizations. And so when you're looking at numbers, it's like, oh, you know, people will say 11 is a number of you know, great altitude in terms of what it means. And
transcendence,
which obviously we don't believe, but, you know, talking about the duality of our number system, you know, and how that applies to each individual. In terms of the numeric symbols.
Yeah, it does take on immediate significance. And I think the more one broadens their intake of knowledge and reference, the more numbers will mean something,
right,
to one person or any symbol that we have. Colors are symbols. God, colors are symbols not only in objects, but in people. And look at the trouble that it's caused in terms of color. A color variation, maybe pertaining to a geographical location that is pertaining to the element of that geography and where that geography is on the planet. All of that becomes meaningful in terms of the symbol of what the color outstandingly represents in the epitome of its appearance. So we have these color barriers, you know, that have drastically altered the consciousness of the planet. You know, the drinking fountains for colored
the
only, or white only.
That it's caused.
Just because the brain is organized to separate. We separate and then we reorganize. So in that respect, it becomes... important in terms of the order of life.
Right, the classification.
The problem is the bigotry and the prejudice and the opinions that are formed, that they don't become conventionally objective, but this becomes a subjective quality to it. And we already discussed even the gang symbols.
Right.
That are not only done visually with the hands, but with the tattoos.
But in colors,
like that,
colors too.
Like that. People die over wearing a certain color and being in the wrong place at the wrong time. So how do we equate this to our sense of cosmic consciousness? How do we take the idea of a symbol and bring it into a transcendent definition that alters not only the consciousness, but that uplifts the being into a state of euphoria, into a state of awareness? We use these symbols as like vitamins, like something that we can take and eat and rejuvenate the idea that we can be higher than what we are. So we have this kind of passion with symbols, I think, that becomes pretty important. It's amazing when we're out and I look at even females when they do their whole face with makeup. That's a symbolic mask. It's a persona of symbolism. And
you hate makeup.
Well,
you're not a fan.
I like natural, except if it's theatrical. But that's neither here nor there. I mean, the symbol, the face is a symbol. I mean, when you think about it, the face is a composite of symbols: ears, nose, eyes, lips. Those are all symbols. When we get into the idea of lips, look what the Rolling Stones did. No one can see those lips and not think the Rolling Stones. But before the Rolling Stones were there, what were those lips? The things you wear in Halloween, you know, that you put on, like those wax lips. Were they the lips of a clown?
They
the
are
lips
kind
of
wax lipish.
Betty Boop used to, you know, I mean, her idea of lips too. She was always, you know, kissing something and then the lipstick would show the kiss on the thing. But it's funny how we use symbols for certain things. But in our discussion, we're trying to use symbols not only as a place where we identify ourselves on the planet, and that creates our ego identity, but how do we utilize the use of symbols to a higher level of spirit? That's the question. Is there symbolism in the cosmic world, in the soul? What kinds of symbols might we bring with us into the astral realm when we cease to be a physical being? Are there going to be symbols there? And what might those symbols be? I mean, it's pretty hard to kind of figure out on the level that we exist.
Well, in terms of our, at least, you know, we venture into the dream state and there are symbols in that we can bring back with us and analyze, you know, while we're on the planet, you know, in our astral travels and things like that.
I think on some level in the astral realm, there are going to be symbols.
Right.
That we will experience outside of the body.
Of the waking state.
Yeah. It's funny, when you close your eyes, if you rub your eyes and close them,
yeah, there's
that endorphin and everything that are created, those floating symbols. Some people have theorized that that actually when you look at those things, it's part of the cosmic map of the universe that's buried within our pineal gland. And it's waking up the light within the darkness. And you're starting to get the code of the universe. I think, obviously, Einstein had to make use of, and people like Stephen Hawking had to make use of high elements of physics, astral physics and such things, to understand that energy can be bent, curved, that there's substance in something like a black hole, which we really can't see. We have to theorize it according to the gravity, the light, the lack of light, the gravitational pull. These are all abstractions, but they become symbols. And, you know, Stephen Hawking, talking about him, it was said, you know, was he confined by his wheelchair? He said, I probably being in a wheelchair, another symbol, helped him to accelerate his mind so that he was only preoccupied with thinking.
Well, yeah, not everybody in a wheelchair is going to have that experience. Obviously, he had, you know,
no, there's
extreme gifts.
Right.
Mental.
We're not minimizing the obstacles of being in a wheelchair. Although Stephen Hawking said, I love it. I maneuvered myself. I didn't feel that confined. Now, I don't know. These are just excerpts of his discussions because there are obviously
problems. And in terms of Stephen Hawking, there was a destiny line for his life. I mean, obviously, you know, more than a karmic destiny, which is, you know, a different category than his destiny. There was a higher destiny for him.
But can you imagine the mind, the brain power it took for Helen Keller to understand the symbolism of water? She couldn't see, she couldn't hear, and she really couldn't speak. Born that way, I think. Born that way.
Yeah.
And yet through Anne Sullivan, she understood finally the essence of water and the essence of speech and lips, and was able to not only be an ambassador of sorts, but a writer, a thinker. So all of that, now there's the rawness of symbolism, because somewhere in her brain, she had to start to symbolize and then articulate those symbols into a language that required more than just a one word, two words, my God, sentences, paragraphs, into a concept that was elaborately difficult and complicated. So that is the idea of how we, most of us are pretty lazy with symbols. I mean, they're all around us, but we limit our brain power because we really don't think hard about the depth of symbolism.
Well, yeah, we didn't really even get into the symbolism of language and then, you know, literature and what that, you know, that's all about in terms of
fascinating
opening the brain.
Yeah, I spent years researching the symbolism of language and literature and what things meant, and studied short stories and looked at every word.
Well, that's, I mean, naturally as a writer, you would do, I mean, someone who's a writer of literature would have to do that, I think, to write well.
But it happens everywhere. We don't think, you know, you say the word Rouse, and then you say
may not mean anything to some people.
To some people, you know, but it's a market.
It's a market on the West Coast.
It's
a Kroger market, which may have more significance to people on the East Coast, because I think they're called Kroger. There's different names depending on where your region is. But anyway, go ahead.
You think of that, and then you venture in your mind into the store itself. Produce, bakery.
Magical.
Everything's there. So one word opens up a whole
Ralph's would have meant nothing to me, really, because I lived in Northern California previously, and there was no Ralph's.
User market or something?
Huh?
What kind of market did they have?
Safeway, Raley's, for the major markets. Safeway, Raley's, Albertsons, which I didn't really shop at. But anyway, those were Safeway's, Vaughn's here in Southern California.
Yeah.
So,
but when
same
you
company,
think,
but
know,
different
we,
name.
We tend to say, oh, Safeway, that's a store. But then when you think about it,
Safeway.
This is the safe way to buy. You know, we have everything here. It's safe. The idea of that, when we think of like Hilton Hotel, we look at the hotel. But
you know,
we
maybe
think
we're
going to
get
Hilton.
Some some residuals from,
all these,
from these plugs.
Yeah. And this is by far, there's nothing earth-shattering about what we're stating here. In terms of the idea of symbols, we're just trying to wake you up a little bit out of bed and get.
I'm still trying to wake up out of bed today.
Well, bed is a symbol, you know?
Right. Sleep.
You can drive yourself crazy with symbols. But I think it's a fascinating research, a fascinating discovery. They're all around us. And if people become more aware of symbols, they might become more aware of who they are and identify on that level. And think about the symbols in your life, what you identify with, and what those symbols ultimately mean to you, pro or con. and composite a list.
Right, and start to explore symbols and your, you know, like we were talking about, closing your eyes. What do you see when you close your eyes? What symbols are a part of your dreamscape? And then start to analyze those and you know, go into more depth of what the symbols might mean on a general level and then on a personal level.
Absolutely.
So,
help open up the cosmic mind.
All right. We're back on the air on Friday because we're out of time now. Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. Thanks, everyone, for joining us today. Bye-bye.